We're going to talk for a little while tonight about Joshua. Joshua was one of the main men in the Old Testament, a very important character. He was a man that obeyed God and did what God had told him to do. He was also a man that was the right hand to Moses. He was the man that led the children of Israel into the Promised Land. Joshua was a very important figure, and he was a man that obeyed God. And I think that there's a lot that we can learn as we study for a short time tonight about Joshua. A man that was born in Egypt, a man that was a slave. But probably, and we just read about Joshua this morning in our reading in Exodus, that he was with Moses. So already we're beginning to see Joshua and see his rise to preeminence. He was one of the 12 spies that was sent into the land of promise. There were 12 spies sent into the land. They said, go into the land and tell us if we can conquer it. They came back. There was 10 of them that said, we can't. And then there was Joshua and Caleb that says, there's giants. It's going to be a challenge, but we can do it. Giddy up, let's go. But the 10 won, and because of the 10 spies that did not do it as God told them, we know we spent another 40 years of wandering in the desert. He was the right hand to Moses, and when Moses was disallowed to go into the Promised Land, it was Joshua that God chose to replace Moses. It was Joshua that led the first battle that the Israelites got into when they got into the Promised Land. This was the battle of Jericho. He also led the second battle in the accursed city of Ai. It was accursed, and they lost, Israelite soldiers because of the sin of Achan. He was the one that at the battle of Gibeon, as they fought the Canaanites, it was Joshua that commanded the sun and the moon to stand still, so that he would have enough daylight left in the day so that he would be able to defeat the Canaanites at Gibeon. And God granted and allowed this, and the sun and the moon stood still. This has never been done since, and it will never be done again. He was 110 years old when he died. He buried in a tomb in Timnath Heres, and I understand that this area of Canaan is where they went into when they first went into Canaan to spy out the land. And this is the land where the giants were that flowed with milk and honey. This was the land that the 10 spies said that we cannot conquer. And this was the land that Joshua was given 40 years later when he was given his inheritance. Understand that even the Muslims revere Joshua as a very important and a very capable man of God. Our text tonight is going to come from the 23rd chapter of Joshua, the 15th and the 16th verse. At the time of this writing, Joshua was a very old man. His time upon earth was just about gone. He had led the children into Israel. He brought them across the Jordan River. He was allowed to inherit his land. He was able to get the other tribes situated in the land. He had the great victory at Jericho, and he had done all through his life exactly the job that God had given him to do. He had been a very good servant. He was a God-fearing man, and God loved Joshua. Now it's at the very end of his life, and this is the speech that he is making to the Israelites that would gather around and listen to him. And I think it was not so much a speech as it was a plea to the Israelites in this chapter of what they need to do and what God had done for them and the way he had blessed them. There's four parts to the verse in Joshua 23:15-16. There's four points that we want to discuss tonight. And after our prayer, we will get into Joshua's last words to the Jews and also to us. I can sympathize with Joshua in this writing. And in these last words that he has to these Israelites, these people that he had delivered, been with ever since many of them since they had left Egypt, and those that were now over across the land, those that had been born in the wilderness, I kind of understand where Joshua was coming from. I spoke to the Lakeview seniors last week, and I had every one of the seniors there together. And I usually don't give a speech like I gave the other day. I'm usually a little more congenial and been used to. I had to give speeches where I could try and get some votes. But this time I didn't. And I just told them when I started talking to you. I said, it's been 48 years since I graduated from Lakeview, but I feel a camaraderie to y'all. And I said, I'm going to talk to you like your granddaddy would. And I'm going to tell you about some things that you need to know. And I'm going to tell you how you need to do things. This is not a friendly speech, but it's something you need to hear. And they listened. They didn't throw stuff at me, so I guess I got away with it. And I think that's more or less the attitude that Joshua has here. He's an old man. He is just about gone. He knows his time is up. And now he's got all of these Israelites gathered around him, and he cares for these people. He cares for them. And he wants them to understand what he has learned in almost 110 years of life. And he wants them to understand what God has done for them and what God expects for them to do for him. So I have an idea that this is not a greeting meeting. Maybe it's more of an eating meeting, because he's explaining to these people what they need to do. And I think he's talking to them kind of like a granddad would talk to his kids. So I kind of understand, I can kind of relate to what Joshua is going through here. This is a very important speech that he makes here in Joshua. And he starts out with first of 4 points. And the first point that he makes is to let these people know how much God has blessed them. To let them know exactly what God has done for them. They didn't earn any of this that they had been given. God had brought them out of Egyptian slavery where they had been for several hundred years. God had given them a land that flowed with milk and honey that they did not build and that they did not earn. God had provided them with food and drink and nurture for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They didn't have to work and take care of themselves. It was all given to them by God. And now that they had been brought across the Jordan River, God was now fighting their battles for them. He was delivering them. He was giving them victory over their enemies. And he was giving them a land that they really had no right to. God had been very, very good to these Israelites. And I think that's the point that Joshua is trying to make here. Make these people realize just what God has done for these Israelites. He had given them victories over their enemies. He had taken care of them in every way. But you know, he's also talking to us here. Because God has also fought our battles for us. And God has also given us victory over our enemies. Now at this time of the writing, God dealt directly with these children of Israel. And today in the New Testament times, we deal with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, our intermediary. He is the one that we go, but he is the go-between between us and God. But God has given us victory over every problem that we have through Jesus Christ, his Son. He's given us power over the devil. He's given us power over temptation. He's given us power over death and over the grave. The struggles that they had back then were against flesh and blood. Today we fight against the spiritual forces of evil. But God is there for us. He is on our side, and he has blessed us to help us in this battle. Before the death of Christ, we had no hope. We were dead. We were on the path to destruction, and there was nothing that we could do about it because we do not have the power to save ourselves. But when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he changed our destiny. And we can be made available to the blessings that God gives us through obedience to the gospel plan of Jesus Christ. He substituted himself as a propitiation for our sins, placing himself between us and God. Yes, God blessed these Israelites, and he took care of them in every way. But he has blessed us today. So when Joshua speaks to these children as a grandfather would speak to a grandchild, he's speaking to us today too. We need to realize what God has done for us and the blessings that we have. Just as God drove out the nations that oppressed Israel and gave them this land that they did not deserve, God has also drove out the sin that oppresses us, and has made us a candidate for a home, an eternal home, that we really do not deserve and did not earn, but it is available to us through Jesus Christ. Joshua said, this is what you need to understand. You have been greatly blessed by God Almighty. Even as he blessed Israel, he has also blessed us. The second point that God is making to these Israelites is that there will be future blessings in store for them. They are God's chosen people. God chose this small band of people. He chose them according to his own desires. There was no reason to choose them. They were not outstanding in any way. But God, in fact, chose the Israelites, and he chose them to be his people. And he protected them. He delivered them. He fed them. He fought their battles for them because he cared for them, and they were his people. Joshua is saying, here you have all sorts of blessings that you will be able to enjoy for eternity if you will just do what God has told you to do. The Lord promised them he would continue to bless them. He said the Lord will continue to deliver you from your enemies. God will continue to take care of you and watch over you. You will continue to be prosperous in the eyes of God. All you have to do is love him and obey him and do what he tells you to do. There's one stipulation. God will continue to bless you and take care of you, but he expects you to love him and obey him. You know, we're offered that exact same thing today. So he's talking to us, even as he was speaking to the Israelites. God expects us to love him today. God expects us to obey him today. He has specific laws that he has set in place. He had old laws that he gave to the children of Israel, and the New Testament gives us the new laws that we are followed today. God expects for us to love him, and he expects for us to obey him. And if we will love him and obey him, then the same blessings that we continue to enjoy as New Testament children are the same blessings that the children of Israel could enjoy under the Old Testament. Joshua said he is full of future blessings. He will take care of you forever if you'll just do what he tells you to do, if you will obey him. God promised to deliver us from Satan. He's done that through the death of Jesus because he took away the power that Satan had over us. God promised to deliver us from a world that is temporary, a world that is going to be destroyed. 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the same promise that Joshua is making to these children of Israel. Obey God, do his will, and he will bless you. The world that we live in is temporary. It's not going to last forever. The wealth that we may currently enjoy today is temporary. The jobs that we have today that provide for us are temporary. The stresses, the illnesses that we deal with today are temporary. Sin is temporary, but the will of God is forever. Joshua said, obey God, do what he tells you to do, and he will take care of you from now on. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. But God expects us to obey him today. He expects us to do what he told us to do. He expects us to obey him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the grace of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been promised the blessings of victory over devil and over sin and over temptation. Number 3 point. Joshua now is talking about the responsibility that these Israelites have to Almighty God if they want to remain in good standing. He's already told them you need to keep the law. You need to know the law. You need to understand the law. You need to meditate upon the law. And you need to adhere to the teachings of the law. Joshua said, if you will do this, if you will do this, you will be successful and you will be prosperous and God will continue to bless and to watch over you. And then he moves it just a little bit further and he gets very, very specific about what he's talking about. And this really was the downfall of the Israelites. Joshua said, you're going to have to avoid these idols. You're going to have to avoid idol worship. You know, the first commandment of God was, I am your Lord, I am your God. Put no one or nothing before me. God is a very jealous God. These Israelites would go into these lands that they were conquering, and then they would take over the idols of these lands and they begin to worship these man-made idols. So Joshua specifically points in his writing here to these Israelites, avoid idol worship. Give up these idols. Do not accept these man-made idols. And it was a real problem for these people because these idols, they adopted. These idols, they worshiped and they fell down before these man-made objects. Now, these were simpler times. Our times are more complex today, but But you know, we still have the exact same problem with idol worship today as they had back then. It's just on a little different scale. We don't worship golden calves and bronze snakes, but we worship things like materialism. We worship things like abundance, seeing how much money we can make, the houses, the vehicles, the importance, and the high wealth that we can accumulate. We worry about materialism. We are worried and about these things of the earth that make us high and standing in the earth. Denominationalism has also taken hold of us. It is another form of idol worship. Idol worship in a spiritual way is worshiping something that is not scriptural. Unscriptural worship is a form of idolatry, and we worship without spirit. It is a form of idolatry. We're not putting God first, because we're not doing what God has commanded us to do according to the way He's commanded. When we worship without truth or without enthusiasm, when we simply play with religion, when it becomes more of a social relationship or a learned custom that it is to give worship to God that God deserves and demand, this is simply another form of idol worship that God does not accept. Joshua said, put away your idols. Obey God. He is the one, the only true God. Ephesians tells us there's still one God and one Christ, one hope, one baptism, and one way to heaven. Anytime you start worshiping idols or worshiping in a way that is unscriptural, then we are not worshiping according to the plan, because worship must be genuine. We must worship God through Christ and not allow anything to come before us that would take away God's position as being number one. And Joshua was extremely pointed when he spoke to idols. Put them away. Put nothing before God. And finally, as he concludes this writing in Joshua, he gives them the fourth admonition. He said, there's danger if you ignore God. If you ignore what God has taught you and told you to do, you will suffer the consequences. I remember James Smith, I don't know how many times I've heard him say it from this pulpit. He said, I do not understand revelations, but I do know that God won and the devil lost. And he said, that's all I really need to know. And that's exactly what Joshua is telling these people here. Here's what is expected of you. Here's what God has done for you. Here's what God is going to do for you. But if you ignore Him and you disobey Him, these are the consequences that are going to befall you, and you will lose the blessings that God has given you. Let's read from Joshua 23, verse 15 and 16. This is Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. He said, therefore it shall come to pass, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until He have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. Obey Him, follow Him, and you will continue to receive the blessings. If you don't obey, if you ignore Him, you will lose the blessings. And of course, we know that the Israelites did lose the blessings that God gave them. He continues in the 16th. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. This is the warning that Joshua gave to these children of Israel. And he could not have spoken any plainer than what he spoke. Do what God told you, or He's going to take away what He promised you and the blessings that He has been giving you. There is a story told about a time in December the 26th of 1776 during the Revolutionary War. It seems that George Washington and his men had crossed the Delaware, and they were moving into Trenton, New Jersey, where at the time the British soldiers, the British headquarters, were established. The British commander was in a big, high, hot, and heavy poker game at this time, but there was a spy in the land that had loyalties to the British crown. And when he determined that George Washington and his men had crossed the Delaware and were heading in force to Trenton to destroy or to fight and to attempt to conquer the British, he ran to the headquarters and demanded to see the British commander. The porter says, he cannot be disturbed. He's busy. I can't let you see him. So it says that the spy wrote a note on a piece of paper and gave it to the porter. He said, get this to the commander immediately. This is very, very important. It is said that the porter took the note in and gave it to the general, the commanding officer. He was right in the middle of a big poker hand. He took the paper, he folded it, he put it in his pocket, and he forgot it until the shots began to ring out from the few guards that were still stationed outside. And by that time, it was too late. They were caught unaware. They were caught surprised. And the American forces under George Washington were able to come into the headquarters of the mighty British Army, were able to overcome it, to defeat it, and to capture the British forces. And this was the beginning of the end for the Britons, for the Brits in America, because they were taken by surprise and they were captured. Because the note of warning that had been written to the general that would have allowed him to prepare for the Americans took second place to a poker game. And I'm sure he found it in his prison cell later, still wadded up in his pocket. The Jews ignored the warnings of Joshua. And because they ignored the warnings of Joshua and they followed after these other idols and they did not obey God, they were eventually forced into exile. And these blessings that God had promised them and had proven to them and had given to them all these many years, he began to pull away because the Israelites did not keep their word to God. Joshua said, if you ignore God, if you ignore his teachings, if you ignore his commandments, if you ignore and do not do what he tells you to do, he said he will pull those blessings away. And that same exact lesson applies to us today. He's proven his blessings for us. He's given us everything. He's made life good for us. He's made all of the sacrifices. He gave his son. Everything has been done to make us, to help us to be able to earn a blessing and eternal life in a land that we don't deserve, in a land that we didn't build. But if we don't take and follow and take advantage of the sacrifices and the conditions that God has laid upon us, our fate will be no better than the fate of the Egyptians. Joshua's last words were words of wisdom. I think they were a plea to these children that he cared about, that he had known, that had followed him into this land. I think he was very concerned about them. I think that he was talking to them from the very depths of his heart. But I think everything that Joshua said to these children of Israel can also be said to us today. Remember God's love and remember that he has blessed us from the very beginning. Believe in the promise that God has made, that he will continue to bless us if we obey him. But we, third point, is have an obligation to God and a responsibility to God. We must know what this is. We must understand his word. We must obey the commandments that he has given us. We must be faithful to him. We must genuinely worship him and love him and let nothing come between us and him. But if we choose to ignore God, then we're going to suffer the consequences even as the children of Israel did. That's all I got. Have a song of invitation at this time. If we can help anyone, come forward and present.